This is Radio Hangar. I'm Tower, and this is ATIS, the show where we take the day's aviation headlines and tell you what they actually mean for the person holding the yoke. Today, we've got a story out of the general aviation training world. Not a crash, not a new rule out of Washington. A story about a student pilot who looked at a problem most of us just accept and decided to do something about it. Here's what you need to know. The Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, AOPA, is running a feature on a young pilot named Rohith Velmurugan. He was working toward his commercial pilot certificate when he noticed something that a lot of us have felt but never really measured. He was spending an enormous amount of his training time on the ground. Now stop and think about that for a second. You show up at the airport, you've blocked out 2 hours, and a big slice of that time, the time you're paying for, the time you drove out to the field for, gets eaten up before the propeller ever turns. Pre-flight planning, weather, weight and balance, the walk around, the checklists, all of it necessary, all of it eating into the hours you actually wanted to spend flying the airplane. For most of us, that's just the cost of doing business. You accept it, you grumble about it in the run-up area, and you move on. Velmurugan didn't move on. He started asking why the ground portion of training has to be as slow and as scattered as it is. Before we go further, let me bring in today's sponsor, because they build something that speaks to exactly this kind of milestone. Today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. And that's the right frame for this story, because the commercial certificate is one of those milestones. It's the step where flying stops being a hobby and starts being a profession. The standards get tighter, the margins get thinner, and the habits you build on the ground are the habits that carry into a cockpit where somebody is paying you to get it right. So let's talk about the pre-flight itself, because that's the heart of this. The headline doesn't tell the whole story. This isn't just one student being impatient with paperwork. This is a window into a real tension in flight training. The tension between efficiency and thoroughness. Here's the thing about a pre-flight. It is the single most controllable safety action you take all day. Once you're airborne, a lot of things are out of your hands. Weather shifts, traffic materializes, systems do what systems do. But that walk around on the ramp, that's all you. That's the one moment where you have complete authority over whether that airplane is airworthy before you commit it to the sky. And yet, it's the part of flying we're most tempted to rush. Think about the pressures. You're behind schedule the airplane before you ran late, you've flown this exact tail number 30 times and nothing was ever wrong, it's cold, or it's raining, or the sun's going down and you want to get the cross country in before dark. Every one of those is a quiet little voice telling you to hurry the walk around. This is where a better pre-flight actually matters. Not a faster one, a better one. Let me give you what the good ones have in common. First, a real pre-flight is systematic, not random. You start at the same place every single time and you work the same direction around the airplane. Left wing route, out to the tip, around the leading edge, back to the fuselage. Same flow, every time. Because the moment you start wandering, the moment you skip around based on what catches your eye, that's the moment you miss the thing that didn't catch your eye. The flat strut, the soft tire, the quarter inch of play in a control surface that wasn't there yesterday. Second, a good pre-flight engages your hands, not just your eyes. You don't look at the fuel. You drain it into a clear tester and you hold it up to the light and you check the color and you smell it. Blue for 100 low lead clear. And it smells like kerosene, you've got jet fuel in a piston airplane, and you just saved your own life on the ramp. You don't glance at the control surfaces, you move them, you feel for the stops, you check the hinges. Third, and this is the one Velmurugan's story really points at, a good pre-flight is efficient because it's practiced, not because it's shortcut. There's a difference. A pilot who's rushing skips items. A pilot who's fluent moves quickly because the flow is second nature, because they're not fumbling with the checklist, trying to figure out what comes next. The goal isn't to spend less time being careful. The goal is to stop wasting time being disorganized. That's what makes this story worth your attention. The instinct to reclaim ground time is a good instinct, as long as you reclaim it from inefficiency and not from diligence. This affects you if you're a student right now, watching the Hobbs meter tick while you sort through a kneeboard full of loose paper. And it affects you if you're a 1,000-hour pilot who's gotten so comfortable that the walk-around has quietly shrunk to a lap around the airplane with your hands in your pockets. Both of those pilots have the same fix. Build the flow, make it consistent, make it physical, and then let the speed come from repetition instead of from cutting corners. Let me leave you with one practical thing you can do this week. Time your next pre-flight. Not to rush it, just to know it. Most of us have no idea how long our walk around actually takes, which means we have no baseline to tell whether we're being thorough or just being slow. Once you know the number, you can start finding the wasted motion. The trip back to the FBO for the thing you forgot. The checklist you're reading top to bottom instead of following a flow. The 5 minutes hunting for your fuel tester because it's rolling around loose in the baggage compartment. Reclaim that time. Don't reclaim the inspection. That's the whole lesson buried in this one student's observation. The ground time isn't the enemy. Wasted ground time is, and the pilot who learns to tell the difference early is the pilot who'll still be doing a proper walk around at 10,000 hours when the temptation to skip it is strongest. My thanks to OPA for the profile on Rohith Velmurugan and for keeping a light on the training side of this community. You can find more of what we cover over at RadioHangar.com. I'm Tower. Do the walk around like it matters, because the one time you don't will be the one time it did. See you next time.